Today on the Relationship Renovation Podcast, this is part one of the four-part intimacy series. It is the intimacy discrepancy when one partner wants more.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. I'm Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin.
We are host of, obviously, this podcast, which talks everything relationships, owners of our Relationship Renovation Counseling Center in Tucson, Arizona. We are developers of the Relationship Renovation at Home program. That book is now available on Amazon. And founders of our new Patreon, Relationship Renovation at Home community. And why do I say all of that? Because our passion is helping couples normalize that they're not broken and that it takes certain skills to make relationships work and build emotional safety. So we are trying our hardest to get so many different things out there so that couples have access to this, and our hearts are grateful. I'm grateful for this opportunity to be here with EJ every Friday. And let me introduce today's topic.
You know, on the same vein as what Tara's saying, is we know that couples don't think it necessarily, but we all struggle with very similar things in making our long-term relationships work. And what Tara's about to introduce is definitely something that we see over and over with couples.
Yeah, so we are actually doing another four-part intimacy series called Bridging the Intimacy Gap. Why? Because so many couples struggle with intimacy. And when we say intimacy, we're talking emotional intimacy, physical intimacy, sexual intimacy. And we really want to help you guys understand and normalize all of the layers that go into intimacy. And so again, the four-part series, Bridging the Intimacy Gap. Part one of this series is Understanding the Intimacy Discrepancy.
Part two is a good one. It is The Silent Saboteurs, and that is stress, shame, and a mismatch in desire, and how those contribute to the intimacy gap.
Part three, From Disconnection to Curiosity, Rebuilding or Building for the First Time Safety around this.
And then the final one, which we think is amazing and super fun, and it gives you the hope of going through all of these together, is Creating a New Intimacy Story, Desire, Play, and Lasting Connection. And doesn't that sound just
wonderful? It does.
Wonderful?
So here we go. So here today is part one, Understanding the Intimacy Discrepancy. Here we go.
All right. So setting up this first part of our four-part series, this first part is all about understanding what the intimacy discrepancy is. It's when one partner wants more. And one of the things that we always like to be like super clear about is that the word intimacy and sex are not synonymous. I think that's an important thing to sign up for here. And that when we talk about what the intimacy discrepancy is, we're talking about intimacy on the entire spectrum of ways in which you connect with your partner in an intimate way, in kind words, loving gestures, gifts, all the way over to sexual contact.
And it's every couple has a rhythm. And when that rhythm gets off, people don't quite understand it. So we are here to help you, because one partner might crave closeness and the other might need space. And then how do we understand that and create a rhythm for it? Well, most couples don't. And I will just say this, research shows 80%, so couples, you're not alone, 80% of couples experience a desire discrepancy at some point in their relationship. And the happiest couples are those, not that they eliminate the differences, but they are the ones who learn to talk about it safely and with empathy, and were walking examples. Because if you guys have listened to any of our other podcasts, like, this was one of the hardest areas where EJ and I could have discussions, because it's so vulnerable. But we've done it. We've built it. It's finally here. It's still clunky at times, and that's okay.
Yeah. And if you go back a couple episodes, we did an episode about sex and intimacy being transactional, that is like, that fits very like deeply into this intimacy discrepancy, is that oftentimes you just discover that you guys have different needs, you have different wants, you have different desires. And that 80%, like even when we were doing the research and we were talking about it, like I was like, really? Like, even though 80% feels like, wow, that's a lot, like I wanna say higher, you know, I wanna say like, almost every couple in some aspect of their intimacy, there is a discrepancy in how much or how little they crave.
And if you are a couple that has not experienced, or you know a couple that has not experienced intimacy discrepancy, like, we want to hear from you.
Yeah, give me a call.
We want to interview you. We want to know the like secret.
So we've set this up. We've set up that today we're just sort of like looking at what the intimacy discrepancy is. And I think that one of the biggest parts is what we just sort of did is we said like, hey, this is like super normal. This is something that you and your partner probably, if you're not talking about it, are super like aware of it. And it's seen in almost every couple. It's something that we have struggled with throughout our relationship, or always sort of fine tuning, always finding ways to talk about it. And the goal isn't, you know, I feel like with this, like the goal is, there's no end game. There's no like, oh, one at one point, you know, Tara and I know exactly what the perfect balance of her needs and my needs are. But instead, it's about being in relationship to this dynamic in the long term. Because also the thing is like, things change, you know, that we age, we go through difficult times. We, you know, in our, I think it's the second episode is talking about all the things that sort of like make these things happen even more so. So it's just knowing that like, this is something that we're in relationship with together for a long time.
And well, and I feel like this, right? We don't like change. And especially in the beginning, you know, intimacy feels so exciting and close. And then when differences happen, we don't quite understand. So really the goal is to understand why these happen, because it happens, like you said, for most couples. And there's a myriad of reasons why. So as EJ was kind of talking about before, when we say intimacy discrepancy, we're not just saying sex, right? There is desire discrepancy in that way, and we'll get to that. But we want to talk about emotional, physical, and sexual intimacy and discrepancy, because let's say emotional intimacy, one person likes to be more vulnerable and the other person is more avoidant or shuts off, right? That's a discrepancy. Let's say one person is more physical in the relationship and really affectionate and likes to touch, and the other person is just, that is not who they are. They are not as affectionate as the other. Again, that's a discrepancy. And then sexual intimacy, right? Different libido desires. Again, understanding the differences, talking about them, normalizing, because differing desire levels are typical, and it's not about love or compatibility, but that's where people get really tripped up on. Like, oh, we must not be in love anymore. We must not be compatible anymore because this isn't happening. Yeah. And we can say maybe for some cases, I'm not saying for everything, but we know through experience, if you don't have the skills or the empathy or the emotional safety to talk about all of this, it's going to be left unsaid and resentment builds from it. And that's where that, maybe we're not in love anymore or we are mismatched. To me, it could be a lot of resentment and confusion.
Yeah. I think another like interesting part of this is that, you know, even us talking about it right now, we're tending to like sort of put, you know, sexual, emotional, you know, you could even say like intellectual intimacy. Yeah. We're sort of putting them into different containers and saying like, oh, like so-and-so wants, you know, one member of the party of the couple wants more this, one wants more that. But like also like as you like begin to talk about it with your partner and you begin to just like look at it more deeply, it's that they all sort of are – interconnected. Mm-hmm. You know, like one thing that we did an interview a while ago with a guy named Zach Brittle, and we talked a lot about sex with him. And he was talking about, he asked like Tara and I, how much time do you need to like sort of be ready for mm-hmm. for sexual intimacy? And there was a big difference between the two of us.
Like and 23 hours and 55
yeah, minutes. Yeah, it was. And I think a part of that is that like, our connection, especially for Tara, but I don't think it's just for Tara. Like the more I think about it, like the more I think it's for me as well, is that like when we are emotionally connected, when we are feeling close at our heart level, when there's more like fun and playful, like just joking around intimacy, when we're listening to each other about our thoughts, about life or whatever, that really sort of, you know, it's like the oil in the engine of our overall connection. And that's what like this, when that this intimacy discrepancy gets in and there's one area where one person just isn't getting that need met and the other person just doesn't need that as much, there's a big discrepancy, of course it's going to knock stuff offline on the other side. And it's like, you know, like one instance for the two of us is like, for Tara, like that whole dating element, you know, that we make that time for each other is so important. And I probably wouldn't advocate for that as much. And that like is something that I'm like, you know, trying to keep top of mind in our in our relationship. But like, it's not like I don't enjoy it. It's just that the discrepancy is like, it's more essential for her.
Well, yes. And if I didn't understand, and we haven't talked about this before or understood it, I would be like, well, there's other guys out there that would like want to take me out on dates. Like I just get caught up into this story. Like, well, if you can't do that for me, I'll find someone else who can. And it's not about that. It's understanding that that's just not your strength, but it's a need for me. So how can we consistently talk about it?
Yeah. And that's where like this intimacy discrepancy corrodes on multiple levels. Cause I think that's also where like, you know, the whole like sexual side or even just like being seen, not even like needing somebody else to like engage with you that way, but like why people have affairs is like that somebody else starts relating to you as like a sexual being and even being perceived in that way by somebody else, like suddenly fills this big gap that you've been needing. And that's when like, that's why it's so important that we begin to say like, hey, couples out there, if there are certain needs where there's a big discrepancy between the two of you, you got to tune into this series and really like make this something that you're able to talk about, because this is where there's openings in your relationship for other people to come in and create real distance between the two of you.
Absolutely.
And because at the end of the day, what we're talking about is the fact that we are like, we're different. Mm-hmm. You know, we are different based upon a lot of the stuff that we talk about, you know, in other episodes around attachment theory and around just how our upbringing and how our past affects our present, is that definitely like attachment styles and anxious attachment versus avoidant attachment versus reactive attachment, you know, all of those attachment styles play deeply into this dynamic. And a lot of it is personal growth oriented, right? Mm-hmm. It's about this concept. And again, we've had an episode on this as well around differentiation.
Yeah.
Is like, how much have each of you sort of like grown through, grown past, differentiated from your family of origin issues?
And able to be yourself in the midst of an intimate relationship and not lose yourself. So one of the, like, oh, I can't tell you how many times I've heard it. Like, I feel like I've just lost myself with this person. And so we have to understand that intimacy erodes if we don't have a stable sense of our individual self. And there's a lot of couples that don't understand what healthy boundaries are, or again, maybe there's some codependency there, but we just don't know it because it's kind of been passed on through our parents, our own family systems, whatever it is. And so we really want to help you understand that when you can come into a relationship And when intimacy issues arise, and they will, whether that's in the emotional, physical, or sexual realm, when you can have a sense of self that is present, that feels secure and safe, that's when it feels like you guys have a resolution to this. Because if not, ask me how many couples I'm like, oh, well, I just know that we should have sex, so we do it. There's like people pleasing, caretaking, punishing, avoiding. Yeah. And that's because there is a fear that if I'm authentically myself, right, I won't belong or I will be rejected. And so we really help you understand how to create a stable sense of self so that you can be authentically you no matter what that discrepancy might be in this period of time. Our Relationship Renovation at Home Manual for Couples is now available on Amazon for $24.99. Check it out. It's going to be so helpful. It's going to be giving you all of the skills and tools we talk about on our podcast. So please go check it out. Your relationship is so worth this.
That idea of like sort of like differentiation, sort of being okay yourself no matter what, also like cleans up intimacy. Because if like, if my craving for sexual intimacy is about validating that I'm lovable and that I'm attractive and that I'm enough, yeah, right? If like that's why I'm craving and that's why my craving is really high for it, that's not necessarily a healthy source, you know, of that desire. Like we, in our relationship, we want that desire to be like, I really want to connect with you and I love you and I want to feel like, and we want to express ourselves in that way. And same thing on the emotional side. If like I need that emotional connection because without it, I feel lost and scared, that, you know, again, that's like, that could be an anxious attachment, right? That's not a great place to be getting it. And that might affect my partner's almost like unconscious understanding of like, wow, they want this from me, but this wanting doesn't feel good. Does that make sense?
Well, yes. And it's also like this, if our nervous systems aren't in a calm state, they can create a lot of friction. And I think about like, I've worked with a lot of couples with infidelity. And right, like both couples are experiencing like shame or mistrust, and they're trying to have, let's just say, sexual intimacy again. And like one person's shame is like overriding and in their head. And so they can't perform like they want to perform. And like when your nervous systems aren't regulated and you're trying to do this together, it can feel very disjointing and very rupturing. And so again, we're going to try to help you understand how mismatched nervous systems really do create friction that is not helpful for developing deeper connection.
Yeah. And is it okay? This is kind of what you were supposed to talk about this, but I see like a bridge right into
Go ahead, next thing. Totally fine.
Is that so this discrepancy, right? Like this like greater need I have in one area and Tara's maybe greater or lesser need in another area. If we look at it just as purely a problem, then it points to the fact that something is screwed up between the two of us,
or
like
me.
I blame it on my partner. It's your fault because I need this and you don't need as much of it.
Yeah.
But if instead, if we get like curious about this and we have a really like thoughtful conversation, then we see it as an opportunity for growth. Me individually, like, why is my desire for this certain connection with you so much higher than yours? Or why is it higher this year than it was last year? You know, instead of it being like this like sort of problem-based approach that something's wrong, it's an opportunity to like, for first of all, for me to understand myself better, is to be like, okay, what is actually going on? And if Tara really wants to like have these like connecting moments out, why is it hard for me to make that a priority? Like instead of being like, well, I tried to get you to go out last Saturday and you said you didn't want to go, which has oftentimes been my approach, instead of like, well, why is it like hard for me to just like plan a special time for us, you know?
Yes, like, why is it?
Why is it? Why like, is it? I mean, I know. I mean, I definitely have learned that in the past. I mean, because it's like that just wasn't like, you know, we talk about this like all the time, like just our families and stuff. And it's no like shag on my parents or my past or whatever, but it's like, we didn't do stuff like that. Like we didn't have, like, I remember a couple of birthday parties when I was like really young and stuff. And like, it just wasn't in our thing of like making plans. Special moments. Life was just very like routinely predictable. Mm-hmm. Like we went out to pizza every Friday, right? Like, you know, went to church on Sundays. Like it was just like there was not a lot of people like going out of their way to do special things for each other.
Well, and yes. And then as we met, and I'm more of the chameleon, like I kind of like, oh, I'm just going to kind of go towards like EJ's way of doing things and just forget mine because that must be the better way, right? And then...
Oh, I remember the first Christmas we had where you bought like these elaborate gifts for like everybody in my family. And we were all just
so
like...
so important
it
to
was.
Me.
No, it totally is. It totally, it's wonderful about you. But it was like against our like family rules. It was like, what is this person putting all this thought into this?
It was always thought, not a lot of money, like scrapbooks and stuff. Yeah. So, well, anyway, I mean, that's like a whole other podcast. But again, so really what we're talking about is we just want to help you understand that fluctuations are natural. They're normal. Yeah. They're due to stress, transitions, as we know, parenting, hormones, you name it. There's something to be said there. We're going to be talking about it in episode 2. And that just really, we want to encourage curiosity instead of blaming, right? Yeah. And I've been there. I've been the blamer. I've been like, I just need like a J. Crew kind of guy to like take me out on the river. We don't even have rivers in Tucson, but like in my little mind, I would get so like young, right? That's my own story. That's why, you know, one of the things we do, whether it's in our at-home manual or in our office, is we explore early childhood attachment through adolescence because we truly are who we are from that time. And if you recognize when you get into conflict or you're like tantruming, you should say, how old am I? Because I often was like a teenager. Anyway, I'm getting off topic. Take it away, E. Take away tools.
I mean,
take away
tools. Okay, always at the end of the day, we're like presenting a topic. Today, it's discrepancy in intimacy, right? Mm-hmm. Around whether it's emotional, intellectual, spiritual, sexual, like you have a desire that's higher or lower than your partner, right? So that, and that exists. So then we're saying like, it exists, it's super normal, it's hard to talk about because we get defensive, we shut down, we get combative, right? So it's like recognizing all those things. Now here's your challenge, right? It's, can you and your partner sit down, say, this is challenging, but these people just told us like 80% plus of people deal with this. So we're not the only ones here. So can we have a thoughtful conversation about it? Can we be curious about it?
And maybe like a starting point, if it feels okay, is like, where do you blame instead of get curious?
Yeah.
Like that could be a good starting. Like I've noticed that I blame, like, you know, like for example, I noticed that I blame you for not being the planner in our relationship. Instead of like, gosh, help me understand why like these differences exist. And now I know, right? Because your parents weren't planners like that and it just wasn't in your orbit and that's okay. I
understand. And it functioned. That was like in some ways like why then it became very normal. Is it like it was the way it was and it was functional enough, right? Yeah. I think another tip in this conversation, because I think there's a tendency that if Tara tells me that, well, this is this thing I need that I'm not getting from you, the first thing I'm going to do is probably get like defensive or feel shameful about it, right? Mm-hmm. And so if there's any way that you could try to make your first instinct after your partner saying, hey, here's this thing that I think I have a higher desire for than you do, if you could then instead just go internally and be like, well, huh, why might it be that I'm less like apt to want that? Mm. And trying to take it outside of the context of your relationship. Because the easy thing to be is like we kind of had like a tough moment the other night where we were going back and forth. We were highly stressed. Yeah. And one of us brought up a need we had and the other was like, well, I could, you want to talk about that? I can talk about this. And it's like, that was like, wasn't helpful. And it's something we both do to each other and have it. And so it's like a natural instinct. But the better instinct is to go like, okay, even if I go before my time with Tara, like, why might that be something that's just not in my wheelhouse? And instead of being defensive about it, I want to be curious about myself of like, why am I built that way?
Because that's going to help you be even more curious towards your partner when you have that curiosity.
When your partner's going to, it's a road to some level of accountability too.
Yeah. Oh, and even just like coming home to your partner, like, gosh, I was listening to this amazing relationship podcast today by Tara and EJ. I'm just kidding. And I was like thinking like, you know what? There's like some stuff here that I'm holding on to that might not be healthy. And just hearing that like my partner is reflecting on maybe something that doesn't quite feel good or a disconnection we're having in our relationship, that makes me feel like they care. So just knowing that you're listening to a podcast and having thoughts around it and experiences and reflecting, that's amazing. And again, just like a reminder, you're not broken. We're all uniquely different. And even though we love our differences, they start to irritate the crap out of us once we've been together for a while. So if you feel like this episode could be helpful for someone, make sure you share it. We love comments on it. You can email us at podcast@relationshiprenovation.com. EJ and I read all of those emails, and we are the ones that respond to every single one of those because I have to.
And I want to give you a teaser. Next week, we're taking the second step in this intimacy discrepancy series, and it is the silent saboteurs. These are the things that get in the way that diminish our ability to connect in this way, and that is stress, shame, and then good old desire mismatch, which is a pain in the butt. I don't like
know that. It, yeah. Done it, but we grow from it.
Yeah. Okay. And check out in our show notes, the first top of them always have these links. They have a link to book a coaching call if you're interested in private coaching with Tara and I. There's a link to our Patreon community where you can become a member and do the Relationship Renovation at Home program. And there is
the link to our Amazon book.
Link to our Amazon book, the RR at Home book, which is awesome. And you can work through that yourself, or that Patreon community links up seamlessly with it, where there's video lessons for it.
And monthly live Q&A. That's the big piece.
And then finally, there's this cool emotional safety assessment quiz that you can also take that's on our website. So give those all a check out.
Yay. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Talking everything intimacy. As always, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Me and you just singing on the train. Me and you listening to the rain. Me and you, we are the same.